This is a good news story of God from the gospel storyteller John. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. You know we are Samaritans, and our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you say the place people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. God is spirit, and true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But if God is spirit, then those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain all things to us." Jesus said, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Just then, the disciples came up, and they were astounded that he was speaking with a woman. But nobody said, "What do you want with him?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" The woman left her jar and ran back to the city. She said to all the people, "Come and see this man who has told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" So all the people left the city and were on their way to meet him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." Jesus said, "I have food you know nothing about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has given him something to eat." Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete God's work. Do you not say 4 months more and the harvest will be ready? Look around you. The fields are ripe for harvest. Already the reaper receives wages and gathers fruits for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap what you did not labor for. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city came to believe in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed with them for 2 days. Many more came to believe in him because of his teaching. And they said to the woman, "No longer do we believe because of what you have said. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know truly this is the Savior of the world." This is a good news story. Good morning. I'd like to thank you all for showing up this morning in community to be part of our annual Mental Health Sunday. On a Mental Health Sunday, we hold a dual task as community, which is to remember the individuals that we have lost from suicide deaths and to celebrate and honor their lives, as well as to pray for the people that they left behind, to pray for their ongoing healing and encouragement during such a devastating loss. And our other task is to look toward the future and build our ability to become a life-saving community for others who are suffering in our midst, including maybe ourselves. So at the end of our service today, our wonderful member Chris Osborne will be sharing with us some education about an aspect of mental health challenges that is often overlooked, which is traumatic brain injury. We have also set up a lot of literature in that hall, and we know that there's no bistro down there today, but that literature will be up for several weeks from NAMI. So this is an opportunity really to educate ourselves and also for those of us who are struggling to find resources here at church to know that we are not alone. So in our reflection today, while acknowledging the deep urgency of suicide loss in our community and the deep grief that it brings, I also want to share the upside of some statistics. So did you know that a full 90% of Americans have had suicidal thoughts at least once in their lives? And of those who have attempted suicide without the use of firearms, at least 90% have survived that attempt. And furthermore, 90% of people who attempt suicide and survive will not go on to die by suicide at a later time. So what this means, as the trainer at our recent suicide prevention workshop was emphasizing, is that we are all the time surrounded by survivors. We are all the time surrounded by people who have lived through their lowest point and are now living beacons of hope for life. That's true out in America, in our local community, and it is true here in this sanctuary. Thanks be to God. And honestly, I was really surprised to hear these statistics from our trainer and to get such a hopeful voice on this very serious topic. But it led me to reflect on how in our gospel story today, we really get another example of how to affirm people's strength and resilience amidst all of the suffering and the messiness of life. You see, the woman at the well has made a bit of a mess out of her life. So our story picks up right after the more famous passage where Jesus asks her for a cup of water at the well and then offers her living water. And as the encounter between them unfolds, Jesus points out that she has had multiple marital and non-marital relationships. And in her day, this is a situation that would tempt her to shame and certainly tempt others to judgment. Although mortality rates for men were very high back then, and also both divorce and widowhood were very common, our storyteller John is really emphasizing that this woman has had an especially rocky path in life. 5 husbands, and now one who will not marry her? It's like if Jesus were to walk up to me and after asking for some water, go straight to mentioning that I have insomnia and anger problems. Yeah, Jesus. are these things that have to be addressed before I can follow you? Or are you just saying like, hey, welcome to being human? Or like, what's your point exactly? And so this woman could certainly be tempted to defensiveness. But somehow in Jesus, she manages to hear a different voice, a smaller, more humble, more gentle voice. It's a voice that matter-of-factly names the reality of her experience, not covering it over with shame or silence, but using it as an opportunity to invite her into conversation. Okay, so how? Well, this Samaritan woman recognized immediately that Jesus was speaking to her symbolically as well as literally. You see, back at that time, the Samaritans were known to have had five husbands, aka five pagan gods, who are described in the Hebrew scroll that we know as 2 Kings chapter 17. The king of Assyria had brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, so five places, and settled them in the towns of Samaria to replace the Israelites. They took over Samaria and lived in its towns, and each national group had its own god in the several towns where they settled. And they set them up in the shrines that they made in the high places. So this is why the woman seemingly ignores Jesus's personal provocation and counters with a theological question of her own, challenging Jesus about where to worship, in the high places or in Jerusalem. And from there unfolds a rich spiritual conversation about worship, which Jesus says she does and she will do as a worshiper of God. This is the opposite of disrespect. This is an intellectual back and forth, which Jesus says deeply feeds him. And I think the woman rejoices in being engaged as an equal. Nothing in her history is disowned or used to disqualify her as a prophetic conversation partner. Instead, Jesus sees her life, mistakes, and struggles as a source of wisdom and strength, and a really neat way to make a comparison between a person's love life and our faith life. In her excitement over meeting a prophet who meets her at the level of her whole lived experience, she proclaims that this Jesus told me everything I have ever done, and maybe he could be the Messiah. In proclaiming him the Messiah, she becomes a partner in ministry and helps her entire Samaritan community to join Jesus as co-laborers in the harvest of faith, despite their weird religion, despite her weird love life. Jesus brought a voice of love and seeing strength. So friends, this is why we make a point to celebrate Mental Health Sunday in worship. Because in Jesus, we hear a different voice than the voice of condemnation or othering or uncomfortable avoidance. A voice that doesn't care about our weirdness, doesn't care that we have mental health challenges or the messed up gods of addiction or life stories that have gone all over the place. But rather, Jesus claims us as co-laborers, not ignoring our brokenness, but also not fixating on it. Jesus cares about our capacity for spirit and for truth, not the attributes of our outer package. This is the voice of the sower that Jesus talks about, the one who has planted in us our strength, our resilience, our survival. And this voice is only rejoicing over us. So friends, let us as a faith community proudly and loudly drown out those other voices of stigma or self-judgment and focus only on this still small voice, the compassion of our God. So as I prepare to depart from HUCC after next Sunday, I will be sent to labor in another field that has been prepared, reaping seeds that I did not sow. Just as you will tend and reap the harvest of the small seeds that I have been able to sow in my time here, I want to leave you with a really beautiful thought from the tradition of my birth and upbringing, which is the Roman Catholic Church. Let us pray. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way. An opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Amen.